Hello and welcome back to episode 10 of the Book Wars Pod. That frankly is about 9 episodes more than I expected to do when we started doing this, so that's an exciting time.
Woo!
Yeah, boy.
I feel the enthusiasm just radiating.
Okay, both of us have literally just woke up from naps, so you know.
Nap times, because we're normal people without depression who don't sleep during the day.
It's fine. It's 8 o'clock East Coast time. That's fine. Anyway.
Prime nap time. Anyway, so as I said, this is episode 10 of the Book Wars Pod, and even more exciting than it being episode 10 is the fact that we're starting a new book today.
Yeah.
We are finally talking about Thrawn by Timothy Zahn, the book that came out in April of this year.
It came out during Star Wars Celebration, right? No?
Yes, it did.
Yeah, I think that weekend.
Whew. Yeah, because I know they ran out of...
They ran out of the special covers.
They ran out of the special covers.
And in about 5 seconds.
Didn't they also run out of toys?
They did. Mass hysteria.
No free toys anymore. I would have been trampled. So mad.
Yeah, people died. It was awful.
I love toys. God. I'm not allowed to get any toys because I don't go to work on time. Mom and Dad say so.
We did.
Anyway, what are you guys drinking?
Anyway, so this is kind of the start of, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking about some of the Rebels tie-ins that exist in the canon universe, just because we're approaching the start of the final season of Rebels, even though they haven't actually given us a premiere date.
Why is Lucasfilm like this?
Because Filoni hates us and wants to keep putting out, like, spoilery things that are not really spoilers and give me the feels and make me cry at work. But anyway.
Okay, we
retweeted that. Anyway, that's fine. What are you guys drinking today?
I am today, like, mainlining tea because I'm about to get a migraine and also because I hate having a normal sleep schedule, which is why I nap at 6 o'clock and drink tea with caffeine in it at 8 o'clock.
That's on you. You should stop doing that.
Thanks.
What are you doing? What are you drinking, Chris?
I am not drinking anything for the moment because we have no beer, which is very sad for everyone.
God.
We're disasters over here.
I'm drinking a Montucky cold snack, which is delicious.
That sounds fun.
It's not delicious. It tastes just like Rainier, but it is delicious. It's great though. It's the Pride can still, so. It's got, like, a horse with like, a rainbow mane. It's very cute. I'll tweet a picture of it out.
I'm so happy.
Anyway, it's the... Ooh. Oh, and I think they do 10% of profits back to Pride causes for Pride Month, even though it's not... 8% back to local causes, so... Hey. I think for Pride, they do it to Pride causes. Anyway... I'll tweet a picture out. It's the unofficial beer of Montana.
I like it. I like it a lot.
Cool.
Oh, and because we are starting a new book, this is probably a good time to remind people once again that this podcast is not spoiler-free, and we are definitely going to be spoiling the first 7 chapters of Thrawn, and if we talk about anything else, then we'll put it in the description that we are ruining your life.
Yep.
So be aware.
You wouldn't be listening to this podcast, though, I don't think, if you didn't know. But
I mean, we could get a random retweet and get a bunch of new listens. You never know.
So that's my biggest dream. As you guys
anyway.
Know. Yeah, in that vein, rate, review, subscribe the places. I still didn't fix the SoundCloud if you tuned in last week.
But the Stitcher is fixed.
Because I listened to it today. I listened to the old episode today, and I was like, oh, I should do that. I should need to fix it. Put it on my...
Stitcher is fixed.
Stitcher is fixed.
Yes.
Awesome.
Anyway.
We are through the announcements. Let's dive in. So, the book is called Thrawn. Who should we talk about first?
I think Thrawn, Luke. Maybe. No, we're not talking about that trash baby right now.
We should talk about Ponda Baba.
Sure.
Obviously.
Oh, God.
No, obviously we're going to talk about Thrawn. This is for... There's a few different ways you could know him, actually. The most recent way to know who Thrawn is through Star Wars Rebels. He was basically the main antagonist of season 3 and promises to be showing up even more in season 4. Also, if you are a fan of the Extended Universe books, you know him from the Thrawn trilogy, starting with Heir to the Empire? Heir to the Empire. I haven't read it. Full disclosure. But that's the first place that he appeared, and he became kind of a beloved villain in the Legends universe. And so this is Timothy Zahn, who wrote those original books. This is his first foray into canon, now that his old stuff has been turned into Legends. And he's talking about Thrawn's origin story, basically.
Oh, shit. He wrote the other three, too? He wrote the trilogy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wrote all the old Thrawn books.
I'm about to read those, even though they're not canon.
I mean, go for it.
Sorry. You know he's one of my
favorite... Do it on your own time, not on podcast time, Kristen.
Not on podcast time. he's one of my favorite problematic boyfriends. That's the other great thing about him.
I mean, he's...
Kristen's very bad blue boyfriend.
Yep. He's great. He's very smart, and I like him.
Very smart. One of the defining characteristics of Thrawn is that he is, like, super logical to kind of a creepy extent. It's very, like, I don't know, Kate, you were reading it, and we were, like, talking about it a little bit, and it's very, like...
You save that for the podcast. No talking outside of podcast time.
I know.
But it's very,
like, almost kind of like a horror movie feel at the beginning.
Yeah, I definitely got that at the beginning. Like, I mean, it's the book's called Thrawn, and I figured he had to show up in the first chapter at some point, so I kind of figured that the, you know, mysterious figure running around the forest and killing everybody was him. And also, I mean, everything about it was too weird for it not to all have a purpose, and that's kind of just how Thrawn's mind works. But yeah, it was an interesting feel for a first chapter to be in suspense, but also expecting him to pop up. And then him unraveling what his strategy was later was super fun. It was a really great first look into how his mind works, really, and also just kind of confirming the fact that he's always been like this, or has for a really long time. This is just who he is, you know?
Chris, did you know it was Thrawn?
The antagonist in that first chapter? Oh, yeah, definitely.
Okay, great. I didn't know. Just leave me alone.
I mean, no, of course not.
Come on, you're supposed to be my ally in being bad at reading books.
That would not be on brand for me, TBH.
Oh my god.
It's fine.
Also, we should clarify who we're talking about. His real name is...
Oh god.
Mr. Bron Nuruodo?
Is that right?
I don't know.
I don't speak Chiss. Sorry.
I was going to say, it's not Chiss.
Racist.
It's sorry. Oh, it's Cybisti. My bad.
Anyway, speaking of racism, this book has a lot of racism in it. Yes. It's like basically just a vehicle for, like, we talked a little bit last week about how the Empire is very human supremacist and human centric, and you get a lot of that right off the bat. Like, there are the officers both on Thrawn's little moon that he's on, as well as in the Imperial Academy in Coruscant, do not like aliens.
Sure don't. Is aliens the correct term to use?
So I actually wanted to talk about that, because I think, to my knowledge, this is the first time I've ever seen non-human life forms referred to as aliens. Yeah. You know, usually it's like life form or being or species, or, you know, by the species name, whatever.
Otherworlder, if they're not
right.
Sure.
Right,
well,
right.
World, or if they're not from the home, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Something like that. And I'm kind of wondering if that's because this is the first time we're really looking at something from the Imperial side of it. Because, you know, when you're talking about, when you're referring to it, another, you know, being as, you know, a being, a life form, whatever else, there, you know, it kind of implies that a level of respect, right? Like, this is another alive thing who's an alive sentient thing like I am, you know, if you're a human looking at a different life form, right? Whereas, and I think we see this a lot we're seeing this a lot right now with the current political climate. The word alien implies the sort of otherness, you know, it's holding something at an arm's distance. And I think, you know, I think probably Zahn is really aware of that implication, at least for us in this galaxy, and he's kind of taken that and transplanted it into this other galaxy a long time ago, far, far away. And I think that's fascinating, basically,
I think it is, too. Well, and, like, do we see anybody... I mean, we see other people referring to him. Sorry, Chris, I just saw that you just moved that in the outline, which means I didn't read ahead on the outline, and that's not surprising. That's anyway. Duh, did it again. but whatever.
Speaking of being on brand.
I know, speaking of being on brand, the most on brand, I can't read. But, oh, I had a point. I had one. Oh, we see other people refer to him as alien, and I think Eli refers to him as alien to his face, but does anybody else refer to him as alien to his face?
Not that I remember.
I feel like the Commandant. Like, Commandant Dean Lark might.
That's, yeah.
That's probably right. Okay, sorry, yeah. That was kind of a...
But I think your point is a good one. A lot of the, like, hatred is behind his back. Like, you got... Like, when they were being set up by their colleagues at the academy, like, to...
That was such a cool scene.
Place where they weren't. And, like,
I loved that
scene. You have Thrawn, like, basically, like, baiting their own trap for them. Because, like, they think they're so clever and everything is behind his back and he's just a stupid alien. And, like, I don't know, there was a very kind of reveal... Like, So full disclosure, we don't have a ton to talk about plot-wise in the first 7 chapters of the book because, like, it's all very shrouded in mystery. Like, it's very, like, much, like, kind of a thriller of a book so far in that, like, things are happening and we don't know what's happening or why, and we're, like, waiting for it all to unravel. But, like, one fairly revealing conversation when looking at what we know about Thrawn's future and his actions in Rebels is that when they're playing cards and, like, basically... One of the other students, whose name I don't remember, is like, how would you handle this situation of, I have an unbeatable hand? And Thrawn is just like, there are no guaranteed winning hands. And he's like, already thinking logically. He's basically like, trying to teach this, like, sad idiot, like, you are never as smart as you think. Jesus, Keeks.
What? I just snorted. I'm sorry.
Oh, I thought that was like a massive belch.
Oh, no, it wasn't. I would have said something, so you couldn't edit it out if it was a belch.
Yeah, no, this time it was my problem.
Oh, my
God. But anyway, he's, like, basically trying to teach this poor idiot, like, there's no such thing as an unbeatable hand. Like, never let your guard down. Always examine every angle, and, like, this is how you will succeed as an officer, basically.
This kid's, like, cool story, bro.
Yeah, right? I really
and this
like
kid's
it,
like,
though.
Cool, I'm gonna fuck you over, except not.
Also, like, yeah. I don't know, this is a very Keeks question, or Keeks observation, but I don't know if we ever get a sense, at least from the first 7 chapters, how old Thrawn is, or at least, like, what part of his adulthood he's in. I don't know what the lifespan
I'm always obsessed with how old people are, so yeah.
Right, but...
I'm always obsessed with timelines.
Yeah. Me too. Does it tell us in Wikipedia somewhere? I'm gonna look.
Sure.
But it's
like, this guy's like, I don't know, like, he feels older, right, obviously, like, he feels like, in human terms, like, if he's inexperienced military person, military strategist, then he's probably, like, what, 40-something, and I'm just like, this kid is just, like, thumbing his nose at this dude, and I'm like, good lord, like, I want to smack this kid upside the head.
Well, yeah, and we know are they, like, teenage age, or are they, like, 20?
They are.
Is it, like,
they're,
college?
They're 16 or 17.
Oh, that's
like the academy is basically like primary school.
Children,
it's real babies. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we know skin color blue. Thank you, Wikipedia. I got that.
Helpful.
Why do you think he's Keeks' boyfriend?
I'm really into blue dudes. I don't think it says it right now.
Yeah, I don't know that we know. I mean, we do know one thing that is still mysterious is that he met Anakin and, like, interacted with Anakin in a significant way during the Clone Wars.
That's shit that I want to know about.
know more. I need to know
Yeah.
more.
And I get the sense this is taking place only a few years after the Clone Wars,
Yeah, I need
just
to
based
stop.
on some of the
Yes.
comments in chapter one.
I need to stop
Yes.
reading this because it's going to be
You're gonna spoil
spoilers.
yourself, Keeks. Yeah.
Sorry, I got out of it.
Anyway.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's something we're all interested to learn more about in future weeks.
Yeah.
Just like a little more about Thrawn. Like we know about him, but we don't. We still have a lot of questions. And I think it's funny because like that kind of like is one of his points. Like there, what we know about Thrawn are like myths about the Chiss and like what we assume from seeing him like in his later life, but we don't actually know anything about his origins yet. And like his obsession with like Eli's knowledge of the Chiss and like the myths about the Chiss is really fascinating. I feel like that's going to come into play soon.
Right, definitely. I think it's just kind of, I'm sure we're gonna see a whole character arc for him as he familiarizes himself with human society and integrating himself into a human military structure as a non-human being. But I just, it's fascinating just how much Rebels seems to have nailed his character. I know, Kristen, one of your favorite things about him is how cultured he is and how interested he is in art.
I was gonna
And
say we got some hashtag art talk during this. I was so
totally,
happy.
yeah, I know. Like we absolutely did. And storytelling and myth is kind of it, that's also sort of an art form, you know, especially if you come from a society with a pretty strong oral tradition, like Eli seems to have.
What's Eli's last name? I'm sorry.
Banto.
Vanto. Vanto. Okay. Sorry. I know that with the multiple points of view, it was taking me a long time to not be confused about that. Not really be confused. I know it's the same person, but it was disorienting. It was hard that he was like called Eli during some people's point of view and Vanto during other people's points of view. Sorry, that's a me problem. My brain was
No,
like
you're
putting them into different files, and I was like, no, they're the same.
Juan,
Sorry.
father.
Yeah.
Oh God, what was I saying?
Sorry.
Oh yeah, no, it's good. But yeah, he's like, I mean, Thrawn is just fascinated by these myths that Eli had on his homeworld about the Chiss, and I, you know, part of it must be vanity, and you know, Thrawn says a lot of it's about figuring out who Eli is and who these people who tell these stories are. But I also think he probably kind of appreciates the art in it, especially because he is so attentive to language, and he likes using language precisely. He doesn't have like a super, he like he's definitely fluent and basic, and he knows how to say words and form grammatically correct sentences and all that. But there are some higher concepts that he doesn't quite get, and this is his excuse for using Eli as a translator, right? And you definitely also see that in Rebels, you know, the way he talks. And the way he's always like super in control and needs to project precisely what he intends to. And it's just, he is so interesting. I'm going to say that a whole lot
Yeah,
while reading
he
this
really
book.
is.
I
Yeah,
wonder how
totally.
Eli dies.
I know,
I
just assume he dies. He's a
Yeah,
main
just saying
character, so.
we know Grand Admiral Thrawn comes out of this. Ain't no Grand Admiral Eli.
Nope, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, one other thing that we get hints of so far, and I'm sure we'll get more of, is Thrawn is damn good at his job because like
Man.
he was in the academy for all of a month and like basically got Deen Lark to accept him and like mentally and physically kick the shit out of his peers and got them to like if not accept him, at least stop bothering him. And then he's on the ship, the oh God. What's the ship's name?
Blood
Oh my God,
Moon or
it's
something.
Blood Crow, I think.
Blood
Yeah. Blood
Crow.
Crow.
Good job.
I was like, it's a bird. That's a good group effort,
So
guys.
he gets assigned to the Blood Moon and like obviously people aren't thrilled to have him. Blood Crow, thank you. It's signed to the Blood Crow, and people aren't thrilled to have him there. But you see, flash forward 18 months, and he's like the first weapons officer and like respected by the crew.
Killing
And
it.
like, you never anywhere else in any of what is currently canon of the Star Wars universe do we have a non-human Imperial officer. And the fact that he is doing it so quickly, like, it's kind of the old. the old Fred Astaire line about Ginger, or the old Ginger Rogers line, where like anything Fred Astaire had to do, she had to do backwards and heels. Like, Thrawn is very much doing that. He has to do everything that everyone else is doing better, much better than they're doing it. And clearly he is succeeding at that.
Yeah, Eli even says that, I think.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I was going to say that was kind of one of my favorite exchanges where Eli mm-hmm. was talking about how everybody would be pissed that Thrawn had an aide. And he was like, I don't think there's anything that either of us can do right now. Maybe once you reach, like, dude, does anybody remember the military rank that he
was said? Admiral.
What's your admiral?
Admiral, right?
Yeah.
He was like, once, maybe like, if you were an admiral, and, you know, just kind of, like, sarcastically, and Thrawn, like, dead-ass answers him, like, I will try to reach that rank as soon as I can.
I know, and he was like, ha, oh, you're serious.
I don't have to humor you. That's a callback.
Yeah, no, that exchange kind of really reminded me of how we were talking last week about, like, Darth Vader's, like, kind of, like, deadpan humor.
Exactly.
Which is another reason I'm just super excited to, like, A, see if Thrawn and Vader interact at all during Thrawn's rise, but B, to kind of get more of how he met Anakin, because clearly that was very significant that the Empire, like, knew about it and remembered it and, like, immediately brought Thrawn to Coruscant.
Yeah. It's very interesting. What did you think about, what did you guys think about his interactions with Palpatine? Because we're getting a lot of,
so many questions.
I know, we're getting a lot of Palpatine talk, which is great, because as much as I hate him, I think he's a very interesting character, obviously. But I was like, I didn't think it was very Palpatine-like to get a quote-unquote alien in the...
Well, that's why I want to know what he knows about Thrawn, because clearly he knows something about Thrawn that's impressive.
Well, because, and, like, and he
when
knows
Thrawn says
that...
his name... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, I wonder whether, as usual, I wonder what he knew and when he knew it. But I wonder if he, because if he knows Anakin, you know, former Anakin, then it would make sense that Palpatine would want to keep an eye on him to see what
he knows.
Yeah, I
mean, I think Palpatine
Anakin.
Even said, like, said his name, like, I thought so. I hoped it was you when I heard about, like, you know, that there was a chest. Like, so, like, clearly Anakin knows something about Thrawn, or, like, had some interaction with Thrawn that made it back to the Emperor. And the Emperor was like, this is a motherfucker I need to keep an eye on. And is, like, excited about it. So, like, there's definitely something there that we don't know.
I really want to know if Anakin meeting Thrawn is one of those storylines that they were going to stick in the Clone Wars and they had to throw it away after the show got canceled. It probably was.
Yeah, maybe.
I wonder, yeah.
I love the Clone Wars.
One thing I was super excited about is Lothal. It exists in a non-Rebels universe.
Woo! I want Lothcats. There were no Lothcats.
Yo,
no
same.
Lothcats yet, it's true. We do have Governor Price, though. No, not Governor Price yet.
Yeah.
Nope.
Speaking of origin stories, that finding out much more about her, which I don't think we want to talk too much about her yet, because we don't really know anything, but you can rest assured we're going to be talking more about Arinda Price.
We just know she's bonkers.
Yeah, right, really. No. Oh my god, she might actually just be a psychopath. But anyway.
Might.
I don't use that word lightly.
Yeah, no.
But, like, you know, in addition to the thought, like, A, it's fun to, like, see kind of, like, the super origins of Rebels and, like, that Price, Governor Price, was actually from Lothal in the first place. But we also learn a lot more about the universe. Like, we hear talks about wild space, the unknown regions. Like, these are not regions that we know a lot about.
Yeah, really. Like, Chris will tell you that I think Eli first mentions just this background that he's from wild space, and he's like, what am I doing on this moon with all these Imperial officers? I, like, threw down the book, and I was like, oh my god, Chris, are we going to learn about wild space? I'm so excited.
Yeah. Do you guys feel bad for Eli, speaking of?
Yes, he's such a sad sack.
I know, he's the worst.
A little bit.
I, like, don't like him, but I feel a little bit bad for him. I don't know why I don't like him. I think I don't like him because he doesn't like Thrawn.
He seems like an asshole to me, honestly.
He's a little asshole. He's like, I mean, he's just want to work on my supply jet.
I mean, he's kind of like a typical bro.
Yeah, that's fair.
So, I mean, this is...
I love how bad he is at military stuff.
I do kids like this. at 18 who are like this kind of person. It doesn't surprise me. I'm interested.
You know what other 18, 19-year-old that he sounds like who's whiny and just wants to, you know.
I just want to go to Tasha Station and get some power converters.
Exactly. He really reminded me of Luke.
Well, like, and that makes sense. Like, Luke was out in the middle of nowhere.
Very into the outer rim, so Tatooine's probably pretty close to wild space.
Yeah, he's like, all I'm doing is working on moisture evaporators. The saddest thing I've ever heard.
Yeah, except that, like, Eli kind of wants to keep working on his, you know, his version of moisture evaporators.
Pretty much.
Is the interesting thing. You know,
he has very different goals. Like, Luke, to a certain extent, always wanted to be great and just didn't know that he had it in him, basically.
Right.
Like, Vanto has no, like, Vanto's kind of like, this is my place, and I'm going to sit in it, and it's going to be great.
Right. That's true.
I don't know, but I think it'll be interesting for, we're getting definitely some setup for, like, how Eli's career is going to go, because clearly he's hitched to Thrawn at this point.
Right. I think Zahn's really setting us up for us to watch him and Thrawn kind of rise through the ranks together and kind of just parallel that their journeys and what happens and the choices they make.
Yeah, and just to be clear about it, we don't see Vanto in Rebels at all, to our knowledge.
To our knowledge, so, yet. Yep.
Yet. So he either dies, like we thought.
Or he fucks off to Dagobah or something. I don't know.
I'm sure that's what he does.
Yeah, yes, absolutely.
Clearly.
We've never experienced anyone else doing that in this story.
Yeah, but it'll be interesting to see.
I told you we would talk about Luke.
Yeah, right. Anyway. Well, it'll be interesting to see what we have in store for Eli, because clearly Thrawn wants him for a reason. Like, he kind of has that internal monologue of he doesn't understand yet. It will be a long time before he does.
Yeah.
Like, of why he's been chosen, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Right.
Do we think that Thrawn feels insecure, and that's part of it? I mean, I think it definitely is part of it.
Maybe.
I don't know.
I don't really think that's Kate? Part of it.
You know,
I think Thrawn's playing chess while the rest of us are playing checkers, and we just don't know what he's up to yet.
I'm inclined to agree with that. I don't. You know, nothing of the tiny crumbs that I know about him would suggest that he would ever feel like that, but except maybe, you know, at the end of season 3 of Rebels when fucking Bendu shows up out of nowhere and Thrawn's like, well, fuck me. But
we would all say that if Bendu showed up in our place of business.
Space moose.
Oh my gosh, he's the biggest space moose.
Biggest angriest space moose.
Well, but, I guess I'm thinking specifically about that line, and I don't know where my Kindle is, so it didn't make it back from camping, maybe. Who knows? It's somewhere. Son of a bee. I'm just thinking about that line where, what does he say? Like, I'll be looking ahead to it or something. Like, he has a really weird English construction, basically.
Right, because he's trying to, like, make them think he doesn't know how to speak basic.
Yeah, but, like, do we think that's what that is?
I think there are aspects of basic that he's not 100% on, but like, I don't think that's the main reason for
it. I mean, I think that's something that we're definitely going to, we might never know the answer, but we're definitely going to explore more, I think, in this book, is, like, what is him putting on errors and what is him genuinely, like, what, did he say that because he wanted them to think that he doesn't know basic, or does he really not know basic? Because I was like, that legit sounded like he learned basic from a basic dictionary, you know?
Right. The way I read it was the first option you listed, just judging by how well he begins. I think pretty much immediately after that, he's supposed to be taking basic lessons from Eli, and Eli is just like, you know how to speak basic, motherfucker. What's your real game here? So I assumed that that was what was going on.
Is Eli you, Kate? That sounded like something you would say.
Not right, seriously. I had a question, though, and maybe it's too early to tell, but I can't figure out how much Thrawn kind of cares about Eli as, like, not a friend, but like more than a tool, you know?
Like I think that's like what we're not sure about.
Sorry.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
For a slut?
I think well, my very serious answer was, no, I'm kidding. I think we don't know. Like, I think it's really hard to tell because, like, Thrawn just, like, plays it so close to the vest so far. Like, we mm-hmm. see things from his perspective and it's, like, kind of, like, creepy calculating. Like, he scratched his ear. He must be agitated. Like, his, like, super yeah. weird observational skills, but you never really get a sense of what he's feeling.
Hmm. Right.
Which is cool. I don't know. I really like that. Dean Lark shrugs his shoulders. Perhaps an acceptance.
Yeah. No, it's. I really like how Thrawn is written. It, like, definitely plays into the image of him that we get from Rebels, of him just, like, observing everything, you know, leaving no stone unturned when he's coming up with his strategies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also, like, how unorthodox kind of some of his strategies are. Which tends to make other people very angry. So
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. What did you guys think of all the junk that was on the ship that he got?
Someone's gonna get murdered.
That's She's all so I got. Mad.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Like, what does he need a fully functional like random ass droid for?
I mean, I need one of those also.
Well, duh, yeah. But no, it's interesting that like there is more here than meets the eye, I think we can say about pretty much everything that's happened so right. far.
Absolutely. And I also want to know how those droids are, because he was mentioning that they were valuable because they've got dunium shells or whatever it is. And I really want to know how that's going to tie into the grand plan of the Empire making all these weapons and, of course, you know, the Death Star.
Yeah, that was one thing I noticed. Like, We did get some information about Lothal that we don't have in Rebels. Like, Lothal has dunium.
So much.
Right. So much dunium.
And,
right.
like, dunium, for those who are not as familiar, is what the Death Star is made out of. And it's a very rare metal. And basically, like, well, I don't know, Kate, this was your theory, so I'll stop talking about it.
Sure. One thing we do know from Rebels is that it's full of Imperial weapons factories. You know, we see the Spectres going in and destroying a whole hell of a lot of weapons factories during their various missions. And there's this fan theory going around, you know, the interwebs, that basically posits that Lothal is significant not only because it contains so many weapons factories, but also because it was part of the construction of the Death Star, and that's what we might be seeing a little bit of in Season 4, is them making the Death Star and maybe them not quite realizing it. We got a little bit of that in Ghosts of Geonosis, where I don't want to call them Click Clack because it's so fucking racist, but where the
Geonosian.
Yes, the Geonosian, who they were harassing the hell out of, kept, you know, they kept asking him, what was the Empire working on in Geonosis? Why did your species get wiped out? And he keeps drawing a picture of the Death Star, and everyone's like, I don't get it. And
it's a circle. It's a circle, right, friend. Yeah. It's a friend. It's friend-shaped.
Exactly. And so it's we kind of know that the Death Star was, it's so huge that it was constructed in stages in various different locations, and of course it's mobile and it moves around, but mm-hmm. You know, you see, I hope we get more of that kind of tie-in, not in Rebels and, of course, in this book.
Are we going to get Jin's daddy?
Maybe.
Yes, maybe we will. But, yeah, it'll be interesting, because, I mean, I'm just saying, if it is true and there are Death Star parts being built on Lothal, we know from Rebel Rising what happens to Death Star part factories and the planets that house them.
Womp, womp.
Good Empire stuff. Cleans up. All good stuff.
Not fun.
No one dies.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But so, I mean, that was kind of it. I just wanted to talk about how, like, this book already is just, you know, we talk about expanding the universe kind of in a story way, but physically this book is really expanding the universe. And I'm talking about unknown space and the wild regions unknown regions, wild space.
There you go.
And kind of giving us a view of the galaxy that we don't have any stories from. And so maybe a hint to the future of where the canon books are taking us. We'll see. Yeah.
And I know we were all annoyed with that we couldn't get the fuck off of Lothal during the first season of Rebels, but
this is might be why.
Yeah, I mean, like, and also I just want to learn about Lothal because Lothals are real cute.
Kind of changes how you know. We'll see what else we learn about Lothal, but it might change how we view Rebels and why Phoenix Squadron is basically tasked with Lothal and like keeping the peace on Lothal. So we'll see. So much to learn.
So true. Yay. I think we are actually going to talk about Luke now, right?
No, I had a couple points in here, but I made them already. They were short.
Perfect.
Not only does Kristen not read the outline, she also doesn't listen to the conversation.
Sure don't.
So I think that it kind of wraps us up. It's a little short episode, but it's the first bit of the book, and we've also gone really long the last couple episodes, so you're welcome, world.
Yay.
Next week, we are going to be reading chapters 8 through 14. So definitely join us. Read along with us. We'll put this out on Twitter as well. But chapters 8 through 14, join us. And also, one other Star Wars canon universe note. A new book is out today, or kind of today. It will be the day that this episode releases. But Battlefront 2 Inferno Squad is out today. That is the... Not really. It's kind of a tie-in book with the new Star Wars Battlefront 2 video game coming out this November. It basically covers the main characters of that, but 4 years before. So it's kind of a prologue to the story that we'll be seeing in Battlefront 2. And I am super fucking excited about it.
Yes.
I know how good the prequels are. I bet it's going to be great.
Oh my god.
You need to go away.
Oh, I did get a PlayStation finally, though, so now yes, I can actually play Battlefront with you guys.
Yes!
If you can get me to stop playing Grand Theft Auto, which is the only game that I play.
Fair. Well, you've got 2 months.
Yeah.
3 months.
Sure.
And so anyway, for those who are buying Battlefront, you should totally buy Battlefront. Get it on the bestseller list. Make sure people know about it. Like, always support the Star Wars books. We are going to read it. We're going to give people a chance to buy it, give ourselves a chance to maybe do a little more Rebels talk and some other things. But we're going to be reading it in October, so we'll be staying pretty current. So get it, read it, support Star Wars in all its forms, and enjoy. And if anyone's at Comic-Con and wants to pick me up one of those absolutely fire special Comic-Con editions,
bro,
hit me up.
Comic-Con's gonna be like mad fucking dumb by the time we release this episode. So
well, I know. I asked at Dog Underwater. So
is it this weekend?
She said,
"Yeah, dude."
Oh well, Comic-Con's over. So if you got me a copy of this book, then you're awesome, and I'll give you a shout out by name in our next episode.
That's right. And
I'll also send you like a jar of his tears or something.
Right. Oh, good.
As well as like his tears payment and for not the book, which else. Is less creepy and actually worth something to you.
Oh, and the other thing that we wanted to shout out was our new look for that you guys have seen. Kate, why don't you plug this? Because I don't know things.
So as you might remember, our old logo and banner left a little to be desired. So I actually brought in a professional and had him design us something that actually like looked like a thing. So if you are in need of a fantastic graphic designer and somebody who definitely knows his way around nerddom, he doesn't just do Star Wars stuff, please do look into Joe Butera Designs. He's got a website. He's got a beautiful portfolio. He does books. He does websites. He does all kinds of stuff. He does digital drawings. He's just awesome. So thank you, Joe, for helping us look so good.
Do you know his Twitter handle, Kate? I can look if you don't know it off
it's
the top of
my head. It's JButera83.
Okay.
And he never tweets, so.
Well, yeah, but like you can find him that way, I guess.
Yeah, and we'll when this episode comes out, we'll plug him as opposed to periodically in the future because I absolutely love our new logo and header.
His Twitter handle is now in our bio and we'll live there forever.
Which is dope. So big thanks to him if he is listening. I hope he's listening, even just to hear his name and he skips to the part where we thank him. Either way, it's all fine. I don't care. I missed the Thrawn header. Our header now is dope as shit, but I still miss the Thrawn header.
Oh my god,
will.
You just
make it my phone background.
Oh my Jesus.
There you go. cool, so that takes us to the end of episode 10. Thank you for joining us. For Kate and Kristen, I'm Chris, and we look forward to talking to you next week about chapters 8 through 14 of Thrawn.
Hi, Hamlet!
Oh, is Hamlet awake?
He's peeing.
What's he doing? He's just hanging out in there?
He's peeing.
Well, I know he's peeing. I heard what you said.